With the dim lighting and the reddish cast from the tea-colored walls, the atmosphere was really quite pleasant. I'd forgotten the very particular scent of the room, a combination of dust and the oil used for polishing wood, but now that I smelled it again, I found myself remembering details about that evening with Nobu years earlier that I couldn't possibly have called to mind otherwise. He had holes in both of his socks, I remembered. Through one, a slender big toe had protruded, with the nail neatly groomed. Could it really be that only 5.5 years had passed since that evening? It seemed an entire generation had come and gone. So many of the people I'd once known were dead. Was this the life I'd come back to Gion to lead? It was just as Mameha had once told me. We don't become geisha because we want our lives to be happy. We become geisha because we have no choice. If my mother had lived, I might be a wife and mother at the seashore myself, thinking of Kyoto as a faraway place where the fish were shipped. And would my life really be any worse? Nobu had once said to me, "I'm a very easy man to understand, Sayuri. I don't like things held up before me that I cannot have." Perhaps I was just the same. All my life in Gion, I'd imagined the chairman before me, and now I could not have him. After 10 or 15 minutes of waiting for Nobu, I began to wonder if he was really coming. I knew I shouldn't do it, but I laid my head down on the table to rest, for I'd slept poorly these past nights. I didn't fall asleep, but I did drift for a time in my general sense of misery, and then I seemed to have a most peculiar dream. I thought I heard the tapping sound of drums in the distance, and a hiss like water from a faucet, and then I felt the chairman's hand touching my shoulder. I knew it was the chairman's hand because when I lifted my head from the table to see who had touched me, he was there. The tapping had been his footsteps. The hissing was the door in its track. And now he stood above me with a maid waiting behind him. I bowed and apologized for falling asleep. I felt so confused that for a moment I wondered if I was really awake, but it wasn't a dream. The chairman was seating himself on the very cushion where I'd expected Nobu to sit, and yet Nobu was nowhere to be seen. While the maid placed sake on the table, an awful thought began to take hold in my mind. Had the chairman come to tell me Nobu had been in an accident, or that some other horrible thing had happened to him? Otherwise, why hadn't Nobu himself come? I was about to ask the chairman when the mistress of the tea-house peered into the room. "Why, chairman," she said, "we haven't seen you in weeks." The mistress was always pleasant in front of guests, but I could tell from the strain in her voice that she had something else on her mind. Probably she was wondering about Nobu just as I was.